Wistful Thinking is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things movie and nostalgia podcasts, check out cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
Welcome to Wistful Thinking, the podcast where we revisit pop culture from our childhood to see if it's as good all grown up. I'm Jordan Poland Clark, and with me is my co-host, Carrigale O'Regan.
Hello.
And today we have no guest because it's our very special one-year anniversary episode.
Happy birthday, Kara!
That's right. We've been doing this for a whole year, which feels kind of crazy.
Monumental, really.
If you told me that we would make it a year ago, I don't think I would have believed you.
I definitely wouldn't have believed you, because the first few months I was like, I can't believe we have to keep doing this.
I can't believe we do this every 2 weeks. It doesn't feel like it anymore.
No, it feels a lot easier than it did at first.
It really does. Well, also because we stopped having guests.
Also, I mean, that helps. That definitely helps. It's really a lot helps. Less work.
But yeah, 1 year. This is our 27th episode, I think.
Maybe. That sounds possibly right. Yes. I'm going to go ahead and say yes.
And in honor of our one-year anniversary, we're doing a...
slumber party!
A slumber party! With a real mishmash of topics to talk about.
But before we get into that, I need to pick a face mask that I'm going to do while we do this.
So that's right, Kara's doing face masks.
In the grand slumber party tradition of cosmetics.
I mean, I could get mine, too. So we were talking off air, and so Kara has... Kara, what kind of face masks do you have?
So they're all sheet masks, which means that they're just, like, goopy pieces of paper that you put on your face.
And you look terrifying when you put them on. They're very scary.
Super scary. But they're great because you don't have to, like, scrub your face off to get them off, as you do with certain other masks, such as the renowned classic mint julep mask that, like, dries and hardens on your face.
I have the mint julep mask. What did I do with it? I'm opening drawers looking for it right now. I don't know where I put it.
Well, that one would, like, dry, and then you would get, like, itchy and tight and, like, not be able to wash it off because we're in the middle of doing a podcast.
That's okay. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Because then we could take selfies and put them on the internet for what we looked like when we were doing this podcast. Yeah, mint julep was, like, the best thing when we were, like, 13, and I've been on the lookout for it for a long time, and I finally saw it at a store recently, so I bought it, but I haven't used it.
Well, I have four options to choose from.
Okay.
All by Rael Beauty Lab. They're all, like, botanically based, because I'm allergic to a lot of the more heavy-duty chemical stuff. But I have one that's a tea tree mask, and it says purify and soothe. I have one, this one's kind of problematic, but maybe the most appropriate for this show. It's a collagen mask called Youth Island, and it is for firming and repair. A vitamin C mask called Vitabrite for radiant and refined skin. And the fourth one is a, what's this stuff called? I don't know. It has a long name. It's called Hydrolock. It's for dewy and hydrated skin. Hyaluronic acid. That's what's in that one. So, I have four to
I think
from.
The youth one. What okay. was it called?
Youth
the
Island.
One. Youth Island. That's terrible.
Going on a trip to Youth Island. I like the packaging design on these. They're really pretty. There are, like, the box is each, like, a different pastel color, and it just has, like, very minimal design, and I like it a lot. It is pretty. And that's about 70% of the reason I bought these instead of something
Isn't
else.
That, like, 70%? I mean, that's, like, 70% of the reason why I buy most
yeah.
things that I buy that I don't really need.
True. So I'm just squishing the goop around on the inside before I open it up to evenly disperse it.
Like you do.
As one does. So it has hydrolyzed collagen in it, wheat amino acids, so good thing I'm not allergic to wheat, and licorice root extract.
Does it smell like licorice?
God, I hope not. I really hate licorice so much.
Every everybody does.
Everybody except for my boyfriend. He loves it. It's disgusting.
I do. I feel like you get a weirdo every once in a while who loves licorice.
Yeah.
Okay, so while... Are you masking?
I'm masking.
So while Kara's masking, I also want to put the visual in everybody's head that Kara really wanted to have snacks for this. So she bought a donut. But then she ate it before we went on air so that she would not be chewing in your ears.
So, you're welcome.
Yes. She thought of all of you.
Oh, this is so gross.
While you're masking, let's talk about... I think we should go through our favorite episodes and our least favorite episodes of Wistful Thinking so far.
Okay.
So I want to start by naming, let's see, okay, so I think I have three favorites. Now that I'm reading the list, it's really hard to choose. I think that the first favorite I want to say is a very special episode, which was not even a whole episode. It was our 12th episode, and it was, like, right when the stuff about Harvey Weinstein was coming out, so it was, like, right at the start of the Me Too movement.
A million years ago.
Which, like, feels like it was, like, yesterday, though, but I guess it was in... When was that?
I think October, maybe? Or maybe the summer. I'm not sure exactly.
Let's see. Okay, this episode was from October 17th. Okay. And I think that, like... me and you, Kara, like, always use the lady lens, I feel like, when we watch stuff.
Yes, even though because I hate that you call it that.
I don't know what else to call it. What else should I call it? What?
No, it's fine. It's appropriate. Also, if you can't hear me as well, it's because I have my microphone turned away from my face as I try and stick this thing on it.
I like it. No, it's like a nice background noise. I can hear you trying to put it on. So, we just, like, I think we always looked at the most things that we were watching through that lens, just because, like, that's who we are. We couldn't really help it. But it felt important to us to, like, sit down and actually talk about it. Mm-hmm. And we haven't talked on air about what happened after that. And, well, Kara, do you think it's okay if we talk about this?
Sure.
Because it doesn't involve Joey.
I didn't know what you meant.
No, remember what happened? Is he going to get mad at me?
We should warn him ahead of time.
Okay, we can always cut this out.
Because that's why he was mad at us.
So, when we made that episode, it was like, we didn't plan out what we were going to say ahead of time. We just, like, started talking. And I mentioned that there had been times when I was on podcasts with Joey and Mike when I felt, like, really kind of, like, you know, the token girl, or, like, they were, like, kind of making fun of me because I was pointing out certain things. Because I, like, to me, like, that's what I bring to a podcast when I'm on it with them, because I see things that they don't see. And they actually are getting better at seeing them.
Mm-hmm.
As we all are. But so we just started talking, and I mentioned that, and... like, without even really thinking about it, I threw, like, my friends under the bus, kind of, without warning them. Like, Joey in particular was not happy about that.
Because, and, like, in one breath we were talking about Harvey Weinstein and then talked about them without, like, being like, this is a completely different situation.
Yeah. And, like, to me, like, I didn't even feel the need to differentiate. Because to me, it was so obvious that it was a totally different... I was not comparing Joey to Harvey Weinstein, obviously. And also to me, like what I was... like, as a woman who has lived as a woman for 32 years, like, what I was saying about how I felt being with Joey and Mike wasn't even a thing to me, you know? Because it's how I feel when I'm with most groups of men.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't even think twice about it. And so when he brought it up to me as a thing that made him feel uncomfortable, it was, we had a lot of back and forth about it. He, like, for a minute, didn't want to put the episode out. We kind of fought about it, which is, like, I don't think I've ever fought with Joey before. And but like we got through it. He put the episode out. Like, thank you for doing that, Joey. And I, but it was like that had never happened to me before, where I was like, oh, maybe I dealt with this poorly because I actually don't know how to talk about this.
Because none of
And
us know how to
maybe,
talk about this.
but no, like, and none of us have practiced talking to each other about it because, like, he didn't know how to deal with it either. And I was really frustrated because, like, for, like, we really, like, went back and forth, like, fighting all day about it.
Yeah, it really
And
went on for quite
it
a while.
was, like, literally an entire day of us just, like, messaging back and forth. And because there were certain times where I was like, wait, maybe he's right. Like, as his friend, I definitely should have talked to him about this first with, like, before I took it to a podcast episode that other people can listen to. He's totally right about that. But then at the same time, like, I also felt like he was making it about himself. And I was like, and that means you're not hearing what I'm saying about my experience. You're making it about how it's upsetting to you. And I don't care about that. You know? So like, and that was truly like the first time I ever had to have a conversation like that. And so that feels important.
Yeah. I'm not
So
sure
that's
if I
my
really have
first.
anything to say about that other than the face mask is on and it's a little too small for my face.
Cool. So that's my first favorite episode. I'm glad to have had that fight and maybe to have made that mistake and learned some from it. And also, I feel like after we made that episode, like, we, at least for most other things that we watched, I went like full on, like only watching them through that lens. So the way that I experience media in the last year is like wildly different than when we started this podcast.
Yeah, same. Although, like, not specifically because of that episode, just like
No.
that episode is a part of this larger thing, this larger like
Yeah.
paradigm shift that's happening,
Yeah.
in the culture, which has certainly changed how I approach watching things.
Yeah. Kara, what's your first favorite episode?
The Sound of Music.
Of course.
I had not actually seen it before. I'd seen parts of it, but not the whole thing. And I was not expecting to like it at all. I was like, this is 3 hours long. It's a musical. It's all of the things that I hate. And then I loved every second of it. And I'm so glad that we took the time to watch it because it was a delight. And I continue to sing the songs until this day.
Yeah, and that was a different episode for us too because it wasn't from the 90s or the 80s,
Yeah, true.
which we've only had. So that was older, and Puff the Magic Dragon was from the 70s. Is
Yeah,
that
that
right?
sounds right.
I think everything else has been kind of in the same wheelhouse of like 80s, 90s nostalgia.
Yeah, I really like that
So
one a
that was
lot.
cool.
It was also, so I do different drawings for each episode, and that was my favorite illustration that I've done so far, too.
If you listeners have never seen our art, you should totally go to cageclub.me, go to Wistful Thinking's page, and just click because Kara makes original art for every episode that we do, and
I
it's so
can't
cool.
believe I started doing that because now I have to keep doing it.
I know, but it's so special. It's so cool that you do that.
Yeah, and I do lots of different creative stuff. And last year I was trying to teach myself how to draw better. So, and then I like burned myself out on drawing too much. So it's nice that I like every couple weeks still have to draw something. But yeah, you can also follow us on Instagram at WistfulPod. See them there.
So I think I have, I think I have like two more favorites.
Okay.
My next favorite episode that I really liked making was Wishbone. Because I think, so I had never seen Wishbone before,
Oh,
and
really? I
Kara,
didn't remember that you
I had
hadn't.
never, this is, it was such a strange experience for me. I had never seen it, and Brian chose it. Brian of PS I Love Hoffman chose it. He, you know, was one of his favorites. Kara, you also remembered it really fondly. Mm-hmm. And we watched it, and I hated it for, like, multiple reasons. But I also I think it's one of the only ones you've done where the person who picked the thing was like, oh, yeah, this is
maybe
terrible.
This isn't as good as I thought it was. Yeah.
The quote that we used in the description of that episode says, to quote Brian, "We started off talking about a cute dog reading books, and now I'm depressed and I don't know how we got here."
We've watched some other, like, really not great things since then, though, and now I'm like, wait, why did we think Wishbone was bad?
Because Wishbone was bad.
Oh, but he's so cute.
But Joe sucks.
Oh, I forget about Joe. Yeah.
Joe sucks. Yeah, Wishbone's, like, okay.
The dog is fine. It's all the humans that are the problem, which is kind of how I feel about everything that revolves around a dog.
I struggled with the dog, too, except for I liked one, and then I struggled with the other two episodes with the dog. Anyway, but so I like that, because I think, like, usually we'll have someone on, and they, like, really stand by their thing. Mm. And even, like, surprising to me, I'll stand by something that I thought I would hate. Like, Growing Pains.
Oh, my God. That show.
Which is, like, still shocking to me. Kara, do you have a second favorite episode?
Probably the Little Women episode that we did. Because I just love that movie so much. Update to the new Little Women that's going to be on PBS. It's like a short mini-series, I guess. Done by the same person, I think, who created Call the Midwife, which is a wonderful British show. Somebody I know saw the premiere at Tribeca Film Festival and said it was amazing. So we have
really?
That to look forward to. Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Mm-hmm. I'm very much looking forward to that.
I feel like, so the two things you've chosen so far are the things that we both just, like, cried our way through.
That's true.
I'm currently crying my way through Handmaid's Tale.
Oh.
Side note.
Yikes. I haven't...
Have you started the second season yet?
I have not. I know. I'm just, like, I can't... just at an emotional saturation point with things that are about women. Although I have been watching The Nick, which was a Cinemax series about a hospital, like a turn of the 20th century hospital and surgery. So it's, like, all of these things that I'm, like, super... interested in medical history and stuff, and the women's storylines on that show are outrageously heartbreaking, but are done really well. Like, there's this nun character who absolutely deserves her own show, and she performs abortions and, like, is as adept a surgeon as the men who are actually surgeons. So I have been enjoying the show, but at the same time, there are some really gut-wrenching parts of it.
Yeah.
And again, to bring it back to Little Women, well, we talked a lot about how terrible living in the past was. Pretty much at least once every episode of The Nick, I'm like, I am so glad we don't live in the past.
It's really cool that we don't live in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, medical history is... horrifying.
I feel like you should do a podcast on that also.
Oh, I would love to. Wait, about medical history or about The Nick specifically?
No, about medical history.
Yeah, I would love to. Maybe that's what the next iteration of In Sickness and In Health might be. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out what I'm doing with that show.
Hmm.
I had, like, resolved to bring it back this year, and then I did two episodes, and now I'm like, I don't have the mental bandwidth to deal with this stuff.
You could just do it whenever, though.
Yeah.
You could be like, oh, I feel inspired. I'm doing an episode.
Yeah.
I have a guest. I'm doing a thing.
Yeah, I could do that.
It's not like Cage Club with all these rules.
Deadlines.
No, I appreciate the deadlines. I would never.
Oh, that's the only reason we're
no
still
deadlines.
Doing the show after a year.
I know, because I don't want Joey to be mad at me. That's the only reason.
You tried it once, you didn't like it.
No, my new dream is to start a wrestling podcast on Cage Club. Because I'm very obsessed with wrestling.
And honestly, we could just turn Wistful Thinking into a wrestling podcast.
But here's the problem. There is so much wrestling on every week.
Yeah.
Hours and hours. And so I watch, like now I watch between like 2 and 3 hours of it probably.
Wow.
But like that's not even enough to stay caught up. So, and how would I ever prioritize this if I was doing that? It's too much. And then circus on top of it. I can't do it. Mm-mm. I can't do it.
Well, you just need to find a hook into a wrestling podcast that isn't tied to current events in wrestling.
To like weekly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Yeah. No, I would also like to do that. All right. One day.
Well,
one day.
We were watching something, and my boyfriend changed the channel to a WWE thing. I don't know. But it was like a group of women wrestling each other.
It was Monday Night. Was it Monday Night Raw? I think it was Monday Night Raw, because you messaged me when it happened.
Yeah.
It was on Monday, right?
Probably. It was on a day of the week.
Great, yep. As most things are.
And like, when he first switched over to that channel, this one woman was coming out, and I don't remember what her name was, but she had, I couldn't even describe what her costume looked like either. I just know that I said, like,
was it the purple one?
No, like an autumn moon or something.
Oh, that... yes.
Okay.
She is incredible.
If wrestling was more like that, I would watch so much wrestling. And I said that at the time, and then they started punching each other, and I was like, no, 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 I don't like this. I don't like this. Because I find people punching each other upsetting.
Ember Moon. Her name is Ember,
Ember
Moon.
Moon. Yeah, I liked her a lot. There was also this other lady in like this cool black Barbarella outfit that I was really into. So I can get into
that was
it for the outfits.
Really, that was a really good match. That was so... Nia Jax was in that match, and she's actually the reason I started watching wrestling again, because I accidentally turned it on, and there she is. She's like, she's a big girl.
Oh, her. I loved her.
So yeah, that's Nia Jax.
Yeah, I was really excited to see someone
right?
of that size. I mean, she's not even that big, really.
No, but she's big for like
for
what
TV.
You usually see on TV or
yeah.
what you usually see as an athlete. Just like everything about her is different.
And then
and
she used
so
her body
cool.
like a bowling ball and knocked everybody
she did,
over.
She knocked everybody over. It
was
incredible.
Amazing. Yeah, I liked that a lot. And then it was over, and I was really sad. So I get why people like wrestling now.
I'm so glad. So glad. So one day, that's my dream. I want to do that. I'll figure it out one day.
Cool.
But back to wistful thinking. I think those are my two favorite episodes, but I do want to give honorable mention to Ren and Stimpy.
Okay.
Because I want to give honorable mention to Zach Dazon singing, because I think that was like a real highlight.
That was pretty great.
Of,
it was. For people who didn't listen to it or don't remember, he sang the theme song, but it wasn't words.
Yeah. And then shout out to the Growing Pains episode too, because we did a lot of singing in that one also. With Desiree, who I love singing with. Like, she breaks out into song, like, regularly in real life. She's my friend. We hang out. That's the thing she does. So it was really nice to sing a theme with her.
Yeah, that was fun. My honorable mention would be, I guess the Clueless episode, just because I love that movie so much.
Yeah.
Do we have a guest that time, or was it just us?
It was just us. I think that was, like... No, I think we did the Addams Family Just Us, but that was like right around when
my friend
like,
Jenna
okay.
was on the Addams Family.
Oh, maybe that was right around when we were like, all right, screw it, we don't need guests.
Which I had been saying like from the very beginning, I was like, or you don't have to say yes to this, but it's just an idea. What if we didn't have guests? And you were like, no, we should probably keep having guests. And then eventually I won you over.
I like having the guests because I think it gives us the opportunity to, like, have opinions. I don't know.
That's
I know
true.
Who I am.
An
I know who you are.
Yeah.
It's nice to have another voice. It's nice another to, like, point. Maybe get a different kind of perspective. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
No, it's true. I agree with you. It's just booking guests is a lot of work, and they cancel sometimes. And also, editing 3 audio tracks instead of 2 is, like, a lot more work.
Very
and I'm just
true.
Lazy. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
I'm also very lazy. Okay, episodes that we did not like. I mean, Kingle's Party was the hardest episode that
the
we
worst.
Did. The worst. So
I hated
hard.
It so much.
I'll also always remember watching it. I can't remember if I said this on the original episode or not, but, like, I had gone out with my friends and my roommates the night before, and my roommate was, like, so hungover, and he was asleep on the couch while I watched Kingle's Party. And, like, you know, it wasn't quiet, and I was just like, I cannot believe he's sleeping through this right now. So I'll always have that memory.
That's nice.
Yeah, but that was rough. I mean, I think that's where we learned, like, watching something from, like, preschool is very difficult.
Yes, it is. I mean, I think that's, like, the only really bad thing that we've had to watch, though. Oh, wait.
No,
Bridget Jones.
That's not
Diary.
True. Bridget Jones. I hated Spice World.
Ugh, I don't understand.
I know. I just hated it.
It makes me so sad.
I guess I didn't like Ice Princess, but, like, it was fun to watch because it was fun to make fun of. Yeah. Those were, like, the two for me. Oh, Hook. I hated Hook.
I don't think you said you hated it when we recorded, so that's actually news to me.
Really?
Mm-hmm. You said you didn't like it, but you didn't say you hated it.
I had a hard time paying attention to it. Mm. And I also knew how long it was, and so my brain was just like, this is so going. But I did actually, I edited that episode and I laughed out loud several times while I was editing it. So I think the episode came out fine.
Yeah, it was a good episode. Okay, I'm going to peel off this face mask now.
Okay. And then tell us about how young your skin is.
I can't because I don't have a mirror in here. But this droopy face mask is really creepy if I hold it up to the light.
Those are legitimately terrifying.
Yeah.
To look at somebody wearing one.
I did take a selfie with it on, but it's kind of dark in here because we have a sweet dimmer switch on our bedroom light, which I highly recommend to all people. I love dimmer switches.
Oh, you fancy.
Yeah. I've been meaning to install one in the bathroom. Because, like, you know, you get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. If you turn on the light, you want to die because it's so bright. But if you have a dimmer switch.
Oh, I live in a house that's not that fancy, and it's like a real journey just to get to the bathroom in the dark.
That sounds scary.
It's a little scary.
Well, my eyebrows feel very hydrated and rejuvenated.
Ooh, hydrated eyebrows?
Yeah, I don't think they're supposed to, like, go on your eyebrows. But, like I said, that face mask was, like, a little too small for my giant head.
Well, but you know, it's important to take care of your eyebrows, as we've established.
Of course. I do feel rejuvenated.
Yay. That's good, because before we started recording, you were telling me you were mad at your allergies.
Mm-hmm. Today has not been as bad, because it, like, rained yesterday, which, like, helps with the pollen count and stuff. But I've mostly been feeling like I'm being actually poisoned.
Oh.
Which has been not cool. Because I did this stupid thing where one of my allergy medicines was working so well, I thought that, like, maybe my immune system got its shit together and, like, I didn't need it anymore. people do that with antidepressants a lot. They're like, oh, I'm not depressed anymore, so I don't
seem fine.
Yeah. So I don't need this medication. So I did that with one of my allergy medications. And it was a mistake. And I called my allergist, like, at the end of February to be like, I need to get back on this before, you know, allergy season really kicks into gear. And the soonest appointment she had was for tomorrow. as in, like, as we record this tomorrow. So I'm finally going to see her, get a new prescription, but it's been a rough month. And I work, one of my jobs is with flowers, and that's been interesting. Because I just, thankfully it's only one day a week, because I have, like, a horrible allergy attack every time I'm there.
Well, I appreciate it, though, because you post the most beautiful pictures of flowers.
Yeah, I do. Because I love them so much.
Okay. What? Which segment should we do next?
Oh, did you learn anything over the course of doing this?
Did I learn anything over the course of doing this?
Because I can tell you, I learned something viscerally that I had only known intellectually previously. What's which that? Is that Hollywood hates women a
Hollywood
lot.
Hates women. That's true. Yeah, I think it's been, like, eye-opening to have the Me Too movement happening while we're doing this podcast.
Mm-hmm, for
because
sure.
We're going back and watching the stuff that filled our brains as children.
Mm-hmm. And that programmed us, basically.
Yeah, like, very incorrectly. I have always been kind of, like, I'm always very willing to blame, like, media for being like, well, it fucked me up. It, you know, what made me think that this was real and it wasn't real and life is more complicated than that and blah, 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 blah. And so I've always been really willing to go there, but never, I feel like doing this has just given me reason to be like, no, actually that's for real.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have thought that, like, maybe we're exaggerating before.
We're not. We're not.
This is pretty terrible. And I think it's been interesting to listen to Watch the Throne and listen to Joey and Mike talk about these movies that Charlize Theron has been in. You know, even as a leading woman, with the exception of Monster, which I happen to be on that episode. It's good. Go listen to it. She's just had, like, really shitty parts. She's often
really
the best part
bad.
Of terrible movies, but, like, just the roles that have been available to women in Hollywood have been limited at best. And it's been interesting to kind of all uncover that together.
Well, and this, with her, you know, you have, it gets better. It doesn't get fixed, but it gets better because you have, at least you have Fury Road.
Oh yeah, I still haven't seen that one. But
oh my God, it's incredible.
That's what I hear.
It's incredible.
For somebody who does Fury a movie Road. Podcast, I actually have not seen, like, most movies.
And then Tully, which mm-hmm. just is coming out now, looks like it's something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool, but also it shouldn't take an actress her entire career
yeah.
to, you know, do parts like that.
Yeah. I mean, it, especially, like, after having watched Monster, and that was the first time that I saw it, and it's an amazing movie that I just never want to see again because it's also, like, extremely dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't imagine doing a film like that, and I think she won Best Actress for that?
She was at least nominated.
She was at least nominated. And then having to go back to all of these, like, shitty, just terrible parts,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a bummer.
I mean, not that, like, you know, parts that men get cast in are terrible also, but
yeah,
there are,
but there's a lot more of them.
Significantly more of them.
Yeah. And
yeah,
just
I mean,
by the
difference.
Numbers, there are, because there are so much more of them, there are also good ones in there.
Yeah.
Know? Even if it is a small percentage, it's still, you know, heaps and heaps more.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree that that's the biggest thing that I've learned. I've also learned, I mean, I've always been able to do this, but I've learned that I can look at anything critically if I need to. If I
Important
need to be
skill.
Like, okay, I need to talk about this for 60 minutes. Mm-hmm. What do I see here?
Yeah.
There's always something.
Yeah. It's an important skill to have, even if it's all bullshit.
I mean, all of it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's true.
That's it. That's all I learned.
Okay. That's enough. I said I was going to tell you about the things that I found when I was researching things that people do at slumber parties.
Oh, yeah. It's a real slumber party. What do they do?
Well, they play MASH, which we will actually get to this time. They play Truth or Dare. Truth or Dare. Yep. Apparently, crafting is a big thing at sleepovers now, so I came across a lot of craft ideas, all of which are entirely too visual to do on a podcast, such as decorating pillowcases.
We used to do, like, lanyard and, like, string. That was, like, the extent of our crafts.
Yeah.
And paper folding.
Paper folding? Like, origami?
Well, you know, no, because, you know, you make the, like, the thing.
A cootie catcher. Yeah.
A cootie catcher? Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Well, that's what it's called by some people. Other people call it a fortune teller or whatever. Mini spa was also one of the things.
Hence makeovers.
Snacks. That's just what I wrote. We could watch a movie, although that would be boring.
I'm sure I had a lot of sleepovers, but, like, I only remember going to, like, one big sleepover when I was a kid, and it was at my friend Amy's house, and we watched Scream, which is really why I remember it. And I don't remember any of the other ones. That was, like, the first, like, scary movie I ever watched, and it was, like, such a big deal.
Oh, man, that movie is so good.
That movie is so good, but it was really scary.
Oh, it's still scary.
I know.
Oh, I love it.
Anyway, what else? Tell me more about sleepovers.
People make hot cocoa and drink hot cocoa.
We didn't do any of these things.
No. We could still build a cozy fort and wear pajamas, which I'm at least already wearing pajamas, and then a sort of blanket fort in my bed. This was the one that really stood out as something extremely odd, which is spin the bottle nail polish style.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes, exactly. So this was from something on the Today Show website. And the blurb says, no, your girls are not ready for the kissy-kissy version of this party game. Not till they're at least 30, right? That was in parentheses. But for a beauty theme, have the slumber party participants sit in a circle, taking turns spinning a nail polish bottle. Whoever the bottle points to gets a manicure in that color.
Why couldn't everybody just have a manicure in whatever color they wanted?
Yeah, I don't know. But I came across this, like, nail polish spin the bottle thing, like, multiple times on different websites and was like, what the fuck? It's really weird.
I mean, okay, if I was, like, 11, that would be fun. Sure.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, sure.
Right, is it time to play MASH?
Yeah. Okay, let me pull up my MASH categories. How many categories?
I don't know.
Hang on. Let me pull up the rules of how
I don't know. I did just play this, though. My best friend here and I just had, like, a middle school themed birthday party where we played MASH a bunch. But I don't remember.
Oh, my God. So many things about MASH, the TV show. Hey, Alan Alda.
I thought you prepared this already.
Well, I wrote down potential categories, okay. And I thought that was enough preparation.
Okay, well, that's one step better than the last time we decided to play MASH. So, okay, so you have, I know, okay, you have the person you'll marry.
Well, but we can do any, so let me tell you what categories that I have, of which are borrowed from Janet Varney and the JV Club podcast.
Okay.
But, one is, like, name three, like, movie universes that you could jump into, but I've expanded this to movie universes or like artists or like Instagram aesthetics that you would want to live inside of.
Ooh, that's a wide range. Okay.
Well, just like, you know, just like a weird, like, alternate universes. Three time periods that you would want to live in. Three foods that you could eat with zero ramifications. Three alternate universe partners, either for, like, dating or, like, just to hook up with. Which I guess you could actually split that one into two categories. Three alternate universe best friends. Three jobs that you would want to have. Three places that you would want to live, cities or wherever. And then three kinds of art that you could be good at.
That's a lot of things.
Yeah, so I think you need, like, a certain... Those are just, like, ideas.
Okay.
Of categories. Oh, and three people that you could be for a week. And three superpowers. So, let's see. How many... Choose the story categories. The number of categories you put in will change how long the game takes to play and how long your story will be. If you only have a few minutes... Okay, whatever. The basics would be four categories.
Yeah, that sounds right. Okay, so I had to pick four categories.
I think I need a piece of paper.
I think, yes.
Okay, I'll be right back. Let me grab my notebook. Okay. I have a pink sparkly gel pen for an authentic game of MASH. Okay, so you write those at the top of the page, and then... Okay. Write out the...
Can you also draw the S thing on the page?
The Stussy? Sure.
That's what it's called?
Yeah. It was like a brand.
What? Spell it. How do you spell it? I need to
Google it. Stussy. It was like a skater brand, I think.
No. Okay, hold on. I'm looking it up. Because at our middle school party, we drew the S thing all over everything and tried to figure out what the origin of it was, and we couldn't... I thought it was just a girl thing, and then all the boys at the party were like, no, boys did it too. I was like, what?
I'm pretty sure it was associated with the brand Stussy. I might be wrong, though, I guess. Because, yeah, there it is. What? It's on Know Your Meme, but it doesn't have any information about it.
Because nobody knows, because it's a mystery. And it's still going.
Super Stussy,
definitely
nice
kids
and clean
still
S.
draw it.
Okay, here we go. The Super S Stussy, or simply Super S, or Stussy, is a symbol consisting of 14 lines that forms a stylized S. The symbol is typically drawn by children, usually on notebook paper during school hours. It's unclear when or where the symbol originated, but many believe it is based off a logo for Stussy. Okay, so it wasn't their specific logo, but based off of it. However, others question that claim since there's no irrefutable evidence that the symbol ever appeared on any of Stussy's clothing lines, and the symbol itself is believed to date back as far as the late 1950s. I expected that sentence to end differently and say, like, date back to ancient Egypt. I've been listening to an audiobook about Cleopatra, so that's where my brain went. Some believe the symbol was created by an unknown graffiti artist in the past. So, yeah. Here, I'll send you that link.
Okay, let's mash.
Okay, hang on. I'm still setting up the page.
Come on. No, I can be patient. You're doing all the hard parts. I'm just doing the part where I get to play.
Okay. So I wrote down the categories. Okay, and I think all the counting and stuff is afterwards. So, to start out, name three movies or Instagram aesthetics or whatever that you would want to live inside of. Not necessarily plot-wise, just like inside
just
the
like
universe.
In the world?
Yeah.
Okay, Harry Potter. I'm going to live in Harry Potter world. Does that have a name?
I don't know. I'm not a Harry Potter person. Okay. Potter World, maybe?
Sorry to all of you who I'm offending by not knowing what to actually call that. My bad. Oh, crap. I don't even know what else. This is... You, like, leveled this up so hard.
Oh, well... How do I make it less hard?
No, no, no. You just... I have to think harder than I would usually have to. Because usually you're just like, a house, a mansion, a shack on the street.
No, the mansion, apartment, shack, house. Like, that's not... You're not choosing those things.
No, I know. But usually when you're like, where are you going to live? Like, that is...
Well, that's one of these. We'll get to that. Do you want to start there?
No. I can do this. How many do I have to choose?
Three. You're already done one, okay. So you're a third of the way
there. I'm going to choose them randomly. I'm not even going to choose what I want. So another one would be... the world that is Eraserhead.
What?
Yep.
Oh my God.
That's one. That universe.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That movie. I find that movie so disturbing.
It is. I'm gonna really make this interesting.
Also, if you want to live in the world of Eraserhead, just move to Philadelphia.
That is where they made it, isn't it?
Yeah, and it was like based on David Lynch's time living in Philadelphia. And as somebody who lived in Philadelphia, I can confirm it's just like Eraserhead. One more.
Okay. I want to live in the Fast and Furious universe.
Okay. And then three time periods that you would want to live in.
Three time periods. Well, we've already established that we live in the best one, so...
I don't know about the best one, but... Like, and you don't necessarily have to be a woman in those times.
That's true.
Which I think really changes the calculation of it, at least.
And they don't have to be all things that I want, because then the game will always come out positively, and this game is really more fun if some of it's shitty.
Sure. Why not?
The 80s is one of them. The 1980s.
Thank you for the clarification.
Because it could be the 1880s.
Which would be an interesting time to be alive.
Let's see. Another one would be... can they be in the future?
Sure. Any specific time in the future, or...
I don't know. Let's see. How about... We'll just make it, like... Let's just make it, like, 2180.
Okay.
Wow, that's weird that that's a real time that's gonna happen.
Whoa, I know, and it's, like, not even that far in the future.
Weird. I don't like it.
Do you want me to cross that out?
No, it's good. I just freaked myself out by saying that. Do you ever just, like, have a panic attack about time?
No, not really, because I always come back to the comforting thought of, don't worry, I'll be dead.
Yeah, no, that's why I have the panic attack.
Yeah, I have a bit, kind of, like, a weird opposite thing from most people when it comes to that, where I find the thought of our limited time on Earth wildly liberating and comforting.
Oh, I'm going to need you to teach that to me. Okay, one more, right?
Yes.
We're going to say, like, the year... Oh. Choose my last one for me.
I don't know, like the 60s?
Sure.
Okay. Okay. What are three foods that you would want to be able to eat with no ramifications, which means, like, you can eat as much of it as you want and never gain any weight or, like, be allergic to it or anything like that. And you would never get sick of it.
Baguettes.
Oh, my goodness.
Covered in butter.
100% agree. I mean, honestly, I do this with some frequency, is just, like, make a meal out of, like, a baguette and some sauce. It's so good.
I like, actually won't buy something like that because I know that it means that I'm going to eat the whole thing, and that's not a choice that I often make for myself.
That's smart.
I try. I have to be very physically active, and I'm old now, so I do have to think like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Baguettes. Forever. And
infinite baguettes.
Infinite Potato Skins.
Oh, yeah.
An infinite sushi.
Any specific kind of sushi or just one of those gigantic boats?
All of the sushi.
Okay.
All of it.
Three alternate life partners that, I don't know, do you want to do, like, lump both hookups and long-term partners together? Or do you want me to separate that out into a separate category?
No, let's lump it all together.
Okay.
And these are, like, can these be real people and also fictitious characters?
Yep, of course.
Okay. Not that helps me determine any. Okay, so one is Channing Tatum.
Okay. I have no idea how his name's spelled.
Should I go full on like Celebrity Crush style?
I mean, sure. We're gonna talk about that eventually, though.
Okay. No, that's what I'm gonna do because that's the easiest. So then we're gonna go. We go Channing Tatum. We go Seth Green because that's my '90s crush.
Oh, he's very cute.
Oh, he's very cute.
I had a very big crush on him when he was on Buffy.
Yeah, me too. I watched Buffy just because he was on it. And then we'll do my current crush, which is the wrestler Finn Balor.
Finn, how do you spell the last name?
Balor.
Balor. Okay. And then the last category is three places to live. That could be a city, it could be a country, it could be wherever. It could also be a fictitious place.
Okay. So, we're gonna go New Jersey.
I do love New Jersey.
I don't know how I feel about it, but it is my home state, so...
There are plenty of absolutely lovely places to live in New Jersey, and Chris Christie isn't even the governor anymore.
That is true. Okay, New Jersey. And we're going to go... where else should we live? We should live in the middle of nowhere, Vermont.
Also a lovely place.
Also,
but also you live there already.
I do, but I don't really live in, like, the woods.
Okay.
Like, I mean, like, out in the sticks. Like, can't hear anybody. Nobody knows we're there. Oh, and then you pick my last one.
I mean, one of my answers would definitely be France. All over France.
Okay.
Okay, and I added a category, because I'm having too much fun, which is three alternate life jobs.
Oh, this is... Okay, alternate life jobs?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I want to be the first woman president.
Yeah.
And I want to be a preschool teacher. And you pick my last one.
A weed mogul. Because that's what I want to be when I grow up. And I feel like I still have time. Like, that's still...
You do.
...plausible, is that someday I could start a weed empire.
We're not that old.
Yeah. Oh, do you want me to write that down? Or did you want to pick one of your own?
No, that can totally be the third one.
Weed mogul? Okay.
I like the variation of all those things.
Yeah.
Like, a lot.
Yeah, that's a really good combo. Okay. Let's see. So, I have to draw the spiral. So, I'm going to start drawing a spiral, and you tell me when to stop.
Okay. Are you drawing it?
Already drawing it.
Stop.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That number is your magic number. Count each of the category options. Okay. Oh, I understand this now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
This is the forever part where you start crossing stuff out, right?
Yeah. Although, because we did 3 and the magic number is a multiple of 3, it's actually really easy. I just have to circle the third one of everything. Oh, nice. Okay. I think I did this right, but I'm not sure. choose the final options in each category to tell your friend his or her or their mesh story. You can add as many or... Okay. So, I am happy to inform you that in your 100% guaranteed mesh future, you will be living in a lovely apartment in France.
Oh, okay, okay.
And you'll be married and or just hooking up with Finn Balor.
Oh, thank God.
In your dream job of being a weed mogul. During the 1960s, in the Fast and Furious world.
Wow, that's so exciting.
All while getting giant boats full of sushi for every meal.
Oh my God, that sounds legit incredible. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's really exciting. This
that was
is fun.
My dream life. That was my dream life.
Yeah. So, 100% guaranteed.
All right, I'm down. I'm down. I don't know how we're going to go back in time, but...
That's not for you to worry your pretty little head about.
Not for me to worry about.
Because... No. Well, you'll make so much money as a weed mogul, you'll be able to build a time machine. Go back to the 1960s.
It's perfect.
When, you know, Americans were starting to really lean into experimenting with drugs. So it's really mm-hmm. all the perfect timing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that was MASH. Now that cool. we've done it once, I think I can actually do this for other episodes.
Okay.
When we have guests.
Wistful Thinking is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things movie and nostalgia podcasts, check out cageclub.me. Check out cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
Now that we've cracked the code.
And if not, there's always good old Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Yeah.
Which we played for like 2 episodes and then didn't play anymore.
I mean, it's not that fun after a while. It's just
think it's fun.
It's fun. I just go, it's a little too simple for me. I like this guaranteed mesh future.
All right. Well, is it celebrity crush segment time?
Sure.
Did you get to watch the videos that I sent you?
I thought you only sent me one.
Oh, I might have just saved some for myself, and I was like, I won't make her watch all of these. I'll just
hoarding them for yourself.
Yeah, I did. They weren't, like, good videos.
Well, I did. I watched the one, what was it called? The Tomorrow People video.
Okay. Yeah. So, we decided, I don't even know how we decided, but we decided that we would talk about celebrity crushes from our childhood on this episode. And... my number one celebrity crush was this kid. I don't even know how to say his last name. I don't even know. Anyway, he was on this dumb show that nobody ever watched except for me.
No, the name sounds familiar. And
you've
it, like,
never, but you weren't like, oh, I definitely watched this.
Yeah, no. I did see it, but it wasn't something that stuck in my brain.
I've never met another person who watched it. Like, and, like, remembers it the way I do because I watched it so much. So it was a show called The Tomorrow People. And it was on Nickelodeon in, like, 1994, I think. And it was, like, a British show that I think they just, like, reworked to show on Nickelodeon. And they didn't do very many seasons or very many episodes. But it was from the 70s. It was a remake of the show from the 70s, and then they remade it again, like, really recently on the CW.
Oh, really? That's where I recognize the name from.
Yeah, because it was definitely a thing in the last few years. And it was a show about, like, these, like, kids who could teleport. There was, like, this, like, alien ship that, like, basically called them home, and they had all these, like, superpowers and, like, whatever. But I just watched it, like, over and over and over again, and I had a crush on this ginger boy who was in the show, who was, like, never in anything else again, but he was so cute. And also, the next person that I had a big crush on was Seth Green, which makes me think that I have a thing for ginger boys.
I was actually going to ask you that, because I also have a thing for redheads of any gender. and I was like,
But I've never dated one in real life.
Oh, okay.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never... No, I haven't.
I mean, it's no different than dating anyone with any other hair color.
No care, it's different.
Yeah, that's funny.
But anyway, he was also on You Can't Do That on Television, which is also super fun to go back and watch if you're ever bored. Did you ever watch that?
Yeah. I don't remember it at all, but I did.
Very silly. Very silly. And Alanis Morissette was on it.
Oh my goodness.
Because it was Canadian, and she was Canadian.
Oh, okay, yeah.
My crush was Canadian, too.
Well, I may, because you said, I think it was your idea to do crushes. So I had to make a list, because I knew that I wouldn't be able to come up with anyone off the top of my head. And one of my current celebrity crushes is a Canadian figure skater. So that was my segue from you talking about somebody Canadian. Her name is Caitlin Osmond. Mm-hmm. She won the bronze medal at the Olympics, and then she just won a gold medal at the World Championships, and then she like toe picked herself. Like, they do this thing at the end where they'll like take a few victory laps where they skate around with their flag after they medal. And she accidentally toe picked herself and fell on the ice, like, immediately after winning a gold medal.
So sad!
No, it was really funny, and it just, like, endeared her to me even more, because she just sat there laughing.
That's very cute.
That's nice. Yeah. I like her a lot. She's very pretty.
Well, who else is on your list?
Christina Ricci.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah, patron saint of wistful thinking. I don't know if I've talked about this on this show before. I feel like I probably have. Around the time when Titanic came out, my friend Casey was very obsessed with Leonardo DiCaprio. So, by extension, I also had a crush on Leonardo DiCaprio because I was supposed to.
Have you watched Titanic recently?
No, but I would actually like to do that for this show.
It's like a movie that I always want to hate, and then I turn it on, and I'm like, I love this movie!
Yeah.
But also, like, he really is, like, so beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I also deeply love, what's her name?
Kate Winslet,
yes. Love her so much. But back to the Leonardo DiCaprio story, Casey's parents had gotten like a treadmill or like a, maybe it was a refrigerator. I don't know. But she wound up with this giant empty box, that she like converted into a little like playhouse, and on the inside had plastered pictures of Leonardo DiCaprio all over it, like wallpaper.
That's what my
it
best
was
friend
crazy
was like that
shrine.
With like Jonathan Taylor Thomas around that same time.
Yeah, I forgot about him.
Who I never liked.
Yeah, he's a little too pretty.
You know? But, like, all the girls liked him.
Yeah. Like, Taylor Hanson.
Oh, I loved him. We've talked about this, though. I still
love
him.
Yeah. Did you have anyone else?
Those were, like, my really big ones, like, growing up.
Yeah. I discovered a new celebrity crush recently when I was watching Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. I'm in love with Jane Seymour, and I want her to marry me. you have to see the episode where the circus comes to town. You'll love it.
Oh, yeah. I have to watch that one.
Yeah. And she wears this really great outfit in that episode. She wears pants and, like, suspenders. And I was like, ah, she should wear more of those. But...
No, yeah.
Also,
my only... What?
Had, like, a surprising amount of cartoon characters that wound up on the list.
Who are they?
Trent from Daria.
Yes. Yes.
Like the main character in Aeon Flux and Jessica Rabbit.
Oh yeah, Jessica Rabbit. We used to have a crush on, me and my friends, Max from a Goof Troop, from the Goof Troop movie.
Oh, I don't know about that movie.
He's so stupid, he's a dog. He's not even a person. But he was like very cute, and we were like 10, so.
Oh, like the younger one, right? Because it's like
Like
Goofy and
Goofy's
his.
child.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. I can see it. Yeah.
Whatever,
He's
he was
like
like
a
really
real
cool.
90s dude. Yeah. That's so funny.
But yeah, Trent from Daria, they made him for us.
Yeah.
I wonder if that show's good.
It is. I've watched it recently.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I told you. I think I told you. Did I tell you? When I was working at that art gallery last year, they had like this book signing for this guy who turned out, who wrote a novel about police violence, but it turns out he actually did the voice of Mac on Daria. I was like, oh my God! I wanted to talk to him about Daria, but I thought better of it because he was there to like sign books on this very serious topic.
It was a wise choice, I
Yeah,
think.
I thought so.
Well, do we have any closing thoughts on our first year?
Can't wait to do Titanic.
Yeah, what will the new year bring?
Who knows?
Who
Oh, I
knows?
did say I wanted to talk about the live show that we did.
Oh, yeah, tell us about it.
So, fellow Cage Club Podcast Network hosts of the podcast P.S. I Love Hoffman, which is about the career of the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman. Brian, who did the Wishbone episode of ours, and his friend Kyle have just wrapped up going through Philip Seymour Hoffman's entire filmography. I was about to say discography, and I was like, that's not right. And so, as a final episode tribute to Philip Seymour Hoffman, they actually did a live show in Brooklyn, which was super fun. And I went up on stage and got super nervous, as always. And it was great. It was the first time we've had that many Cage Club hosts in one location. Took a picture. It was monumental.
It was so cool to see. I wish I could have been there.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I was like home and in my pajamas by 7:30, which was
Perfect. It's perfect.
fantastic.
Living
Yes.
the dream.
Truly. So you can hear that episode in their feed. P.S. I Love Hoffman. It was like one of those things where like I thought I was so like visibly and audibly nervous that I like wanted a do-over, so I did a second category, and then when I listened to it, I was like, oh, I sound fine. I always think that I'm like shaking uncontrollably, but yeah, still just trying to get on stage as much as possible to like, because you told me that like eventually I'll stop feeling like I'm having an out-of-body
You'll
experience.
probably stop blacking out eventually.
Yeah, I don't know, because I did that and I did a storytelling show earlier this year,
Yeah.
and in both cases I felt like not necessarily an out-of-body experience, but like I'm very aware of the fact that I'm like a meat suit. You know, that like really your body is just a meat suit, and I'm just like I'm wearing some sort of like mascot costume and like looking out through eye holes.
I have not experienced it that way. It's really interesting to hear you describe it that way.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, I guess it's closer, you know, I'm not like fully out of my body. I'm still inside of my body, but just like in a weirdly detached, kind of dissociative way.
Well, and that's only two times. Like, that's still not very many times to practice
No, but
doing
I mean,
something like
like, I've
that.
been on stage before that many times where I did
Yeah.
have like an out of body experience, so.
Oh, okay. So it does
So I'm
sound like
just trying
maybe
to
you're
do it
getting
as
more
much as
in
often.
body.
Yeah,
Oh,
getting closer to the inside of my body.
we should do, I would love to do a live event one day.
Yeah, I would too, theoretically. And then
Hypothetically.
all day, probably all week leading up to it, I will say repeatedly, why did I agree to do this? This was a terrible idea. It's going to be a miserable disaster.
But then we would do it and it would be
And I'd be
great.
fine. Yeah.
One day. And one day we'll get the whole Cage Club team together.
Yeah, that would be fun. Although somebody needs to not be there as a designated survivor in case a bomb goes off. Joey and I were talking about that. I was like, who's our designated survivor? And we decided that it was you and Tobin because you live in rural areas.
No, I'll come for it, though. I'll come down for it. You can't keep me away.
Yeah.
So then I nominate Tobin.
Yeah, I mean, he lives in Montana, so that's like, I don't even think that's a real state.
No, there's no people there.
Not. Just dinosaur bones.
Welp, the last thing I'll say about wistful thinking 1 year in is that it's fun to talk to you every 2 weeks.
Yeah, it is fun. This has been nice, especially because I work from home and I don't really interact with other human beings very often. It's nice to... And also because I have another podcast that's, like, serious and not fun. This has been a lot more fun and makes me not want to do my other podcast.
Yay. I mean, boo. Also, yay, forced interaction with people.
Yeah, I recommend it. It's good.
It is good. It's good. I like having, like, a planned out time to sit down and talk to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, because usually you never get to talk to people at length like this.
No, it's like being in college again, but better.
Yeah, because we don't have to do homework. Well, we do kind of have to
do homework.
We don't
have to go write
a
paper about it. We have to do homework.
But no paper writing. And no grades. Staying up all night to do it.
Yeah. Sometimes I stay up pretty late, though, to edit this. Because it's just like college, and I wait until the day before.
Got to keep it on brand.
Yeah. I am who I am. All right. Well, Carrie, got anything to plug?
I don't think so. I mean, just if you go to... Hang on. I need to get the proper link for this. So you can go to cageclub.me/Cara, C-A-R-A, and under guest appearances, you can see all of the other episodes I've been on other... podcasts on the network. So like I said, I was on the live episode of P.S. I Love Hoffman. I was on episode 21 of Watch the Throne. I have such a hard time saying that title because it's like two TH sounds back to back. I was on the episode for Monster. Great movie I never want to see again. I was on the second episode of Third Time's a Charm talking about Jaws 3D. A bunch of others. So... can hear me on other podcasts.
Cool. I have nothing to plug. I still have an Instagram where sometimes I post circus tricks and silly pictures at JordoPC.
Yeah, the circus tricks are pretty cool. I should say, also you can follow me on like all of the things at Bimpse, B-I-M-P-S-E.
That's it. We did it. Happy one year. Yay!
Happy 1 year. Happy belated birthday.
Happy birthday to both of us.
To our podcast. Yes. Did you do anything cool for your birthday?
I went to Montreal.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Oh, it was the best.
Nice.
It was so great. I'm going to go there in the summer and hang out.
Yeah, it's very nice in the summer. A little too humid, but, you know.
Well, it's still the East Coast.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Time has come. Raise the roof and have some fun. Throw away the work to be done. Let the music play on. Everybody sing, everybody dance. Lose yourself in wild romance. We're going to party, carnival, fiesta, forever. Come on and sing along. We're going to party, caramba, fiesta, forever. Come on and sing along. All night long. hole in their feet. Life is good, wild and sweet. Let the music play on, play on. Feel it in your heart and feel it in your soul. Let the music take control. We're going to party, climbing, fiesta, forever. Come on and sing my song.